Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. It is when we become a Christian that we enter into the kingdom of God. And we study a number of lessons on being fit for the kingdom, fit for the master's use in the kingdom. We study such themes as what it means to be a Christian and our duty in public and private worship. We talk about Bible study and the necessity of good works, and certainly applying Christianity in daily living, partaking of the divine nature of Christ, and our relationship with the rest of the church. We study how to overcome sin and its consequences, and learn by maturity to discern between good and evil. We also need to encourage one another to continue to grow. And while it might appear obvious that this is what we ought to do, the seriousness of it requires additional concentration. Let me begin by the reminder that the plan of salvation is hearing the Word, believing in Christ, repenting of sins, confessing faith in Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins into Christ. And now this is the part that we're stressing, remaining faithful to Christ. Remaining faithful requires spiritual growth. We must continue to grow. In every realm of life, growth is essential to its prosperity. Now, that's true in business, in science, or industry, whatever. Things cannot be allowed to become stagnant or lie in a state of motionlessness. Things will either grow or they will die. It would be of benefit if we leave the lesson for just a moment and pick up our Bibles and read some of the passages that I want us to read, and then return to our comments. First, from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him, in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And then in 2 Peter 3, beginning with verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Well, there are many passages that we could multiply that emphasize the necessity that Christians are to continue to grow. Now, saying that we must grow is not all that we need to learn. Our growth must be well balanced. In physical growth, we recognize that something is wrong if only a person's legs grow, but not the rest of the body, or if only the head increased in size, but the arms and legs remained in an infant growth and would not be balanced or healthy. We realize that would not be what is right. We have studied the characteristics of the divine nature of Christ, and we see when we study those things many areas in which we are to grow, but we are to grow in such things simultaneously, not one to the exclusion of another. And we have tried to be realistic and realize that there are hindrances to spiritual growth. This is true in mental and physical growth, and we need not be surprised that such is true in spiritual growth. some hindrances we cannot avoid, but we must learn to overcome them. Other hindrances can be avoided if we are alert. One hindrance to growth is the lack of effort. Being glad over being born into the family of God, we are not to expect growth to be automatic. It is not. The course of least resistance will allow you to be taken downstream, friend. We are to work out our own salvation, Philippians 2 and verse 12. Now, this does not mean we are to work out our own system or plan of salvation, but we must work out our part in God's plan and God's system. Nor does this mean that by our works alone we shall merit salvation. No, we cannot earn it. But there must be obedience, and this requires effort. Would it not be tragic that one failed to enter heaven simply because he was just too lazy to do the things that were necessary? Discouragements are often hindrances to growth. Some make a fine start, but they encounter personal troubles and opposition maybe from former friends and family. Trouble may arise in the church itself, and this frustrates them. Their jobs, their finances, their health, schoolwork, many things can become problems to remaining faithful if we will permit it to be so. But we are not justified to abandon the faith of Christ simply because everything does not go the way we would like it. The cure to discouragement is, as Paul has written, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And Paul urges, "And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." No, friend, when we're faithful in Christ, it's not in vain. And when we keep on keeping on, we can be sure we shall reap. We dare not faint. But many wither on the vine, and they do so because of disuse. Do you know that machinery that is not used does not retain its usefulness? It will rust. It will become stiff. It will become unworkable. Even a knife left to itself grows dull. Oh, it stays sharp through use. If you tie your strong right arm to your side and do not use it, it will not be long before it is of no value to you. People who take to the bed, even though they are well, will soon become sick. Disuse is harmful. Use or lose. Now that's the watchword that leaders of the church need to heed regarding their flock. Knowledge unapplied soon slips away. Talents not used will soon cease to exist. Paul told Timothy, "Exercise thyself unto godliness." 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7. Just having a proper diet is necessary to growth, but proper exercise is also essential. Now, this hindrance to growth can be overcome by getting busy and staying busy. Nor should we think that there must always be some kind of organized congregational-wide plan of action before we can be busy about the Father's business. Individually, we can be active and aggressive in teaching, helping the needy, relieving the distressed, encouraging the discouraged, sympathizing with the bereaved, and on and on in all the labors of Christian endeavor. Sometimes interference is often a hindrance to growth. The crops in the field do best when they're not bothered. If things are allowed to crowd them too much, their growth is stunted. Plants become malformed if somebody is constantly fooling around with them. The Christian cannot allow interference to prevent his growth. And what is likely to interfere? Why, we have many interests in life, do we not? And some of these interests are not necessarily wrong. They are a part of the daily conduct of life. All such things are not evil in themselves. But it is just possible, however, that we allow such things to interfere with our faithfulness to God. It could be a job. It could be recreation. It could be material ambitions. It could even be our associations, our desire for pleasure, even vacations, even family concerns. And while attending to some of these things as a part of being a faithful Christian, we can get our priorities all mixed up, and we soon find that we are, as the saying is, letting the tail wag the dog. Or as someone else has said, majoring in minors and minoring in majors. We must keep a clear head and our eyes singly focused on the ultimate goal, lest we become cloudy as to what really matters in this life. Interference from anything is a hindrance if it creates a problem for continuing to grow as a Christian. We know of a man who seemed to be prospering. He bought a nice boat. Why, there's nothing wrong in owning and using a nice boat. But that boat soon became between him and faithfulness to worship and Bible study. It gradually took him downstream as far as his relationship to God was concerned. And regardless of what level of maturity we might reach, there's always room for growth. We should never think we ever reach the point where there is no further progress to be made. Let me offer some suggestions for continued growth. I hope you'll be interested in these. Our prayer is that they might be personally helpful to you. Be active in the work of your local congregation. There is room in the kingdom for every brother and sister in Christ. Do you realize there's no unimportant person before God? There is work for each to do. Now, we do not all have the same abilities and are not expected to do exactly the same things in serving God as Christian servants. But offer yourself to the leaders and ask them for assignments. Listen for announcements that call for volunteer help. And regardless of how small or insignificant it may appear to you, getting involved in what is going on will help you to continue to grow. By this we mean more than just attending worship services, which is important and ought not be neglected. But if there is a visitation program, be a part of it. Be a part of the teaching work and the door-knocking efforts, working on the building and the yard work, even fixing the Lord's Supper, whatever and whenever you can be of assistance. And set for yourself the goal of trying to convert someone to Christ. Now, this will demand study of you, and you may well benefit more than anyone else. But just think of the possibility of leading someone to Christ. Involve yourself in discussions. Ask questions. Bring someone to the services. Ask them their reactions to what is said and done. And if they allow, tell them why things were said and done just as they were. Prepare answers for subjects about which you will likely be asked. Learn what the Scriptures teach. Then tell somebody among your acquaintances about it. This will be one of the most productive activities of your life. Christ wanted his apostles to be fishers of men, did he not? Friend, there is some soul that you might catch for Christ, just waiting until you start to act. And you might start your own personal Bible research. Study one of the books. Take some topic and search the Scriptures regarding it. A good series of studies can be made from gospel tracts. Bible study helps, correspondence courses. And certainly we encourage attendance in the Bible classes and paying attention to sermons that are preached from the pulpit. But you will learn and grow faster if you have a personal program of private study alongside these things. You know, sometimes people start to study and they become discouraged because they think they're not really getting anywhere. But like all growth, it is gradual. Great strides should not be expected. You know, children do not jump from the high chair and begin walking, nor suddenly stand 6 feet tall. While progress may appear almost imperceptible, progress is being made nonetheless. But always keep yourself under constant self-examination. Don't allow yourself to slip off course. Like a sailor on the sea, check your compass regularly. Make application of your increasing knowledge in your personal and daily Christian life. Do what you have learned. You know, businesses take inventory now and then to see where they are and where they are going. Schools give examinations. We need to take stock of our lives, where we are, the direction we are traveling. And if we fail to do this, we can drift either to the left or to the right from the truth. Self-examination helps us to keep our eye on the goal. It is also one of the essential elements in continuing to grow. And someday, friend, we shall be judged. And we do not want to be weighed in the balance and found wanting. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.